Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. This is an interview with Leola Kessler on 20 October 1971, and I'm Margaret Spaz. Leola, to begin with, I'd like to know a little bit of your background before you went into BIA teaching. You said that you had received your master's degree. Was this before you went in to work for the Bureau?
Yes, it was.
In what year then?
It had been about 1924,
What happened in between then and the time you began to work for the Bureau?
I taught my public schools in Colorado.
Oh. And you were teaching at what level?
Well, I taught several levels. First of all, I started out with primary work. However, that was not my major field. And finally, I was able to get employment in my major field, which was the teaching of home economics.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught in the northern part of the state at Fort Morgan during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I taught from the community.
And this, did this continue until you went to work for the Bureau?
No, it continued until the Depression.
Oh!
And of course, everybody's funds were reduced, including the school board.
Yeah.
And they assumed that they could get along with bare essentials, which excluded home economics. And consequently, I lost my position and returned to my hometown. Teaching in the junior house.
I see.
And teaching now. The ordinary subjects that we would find in a non-Mary high school rather than in home economics.
But it was a job.
It was a job.
Uh-huh.
That job.
Yes. So you had quite, actually you had a diversified teaching background.
Well, yes.
Really?
Really, you might say from the first grade to the senior high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when did you first begin to work for the Bureau?
It was the 2nd of January, 1935.
That's a momentous day.
Momentous day was quite a way to start a new year.
What, could you tell me, you know, the reasons why you decided to work for the Bureau?
Yes, at the time that I was forced to return to public schools and teaching all subjects in junior high, the salaries had gone down so low that I thought that I couldn't afford to have as much invested as I had in my education and accept the salaries that were then being given.
Mm-hmm.
And just by chance, one evening I happened to pick up the paper and noticed that the Civil Service Commission was advertising for teachers in the Indian Service. Now the Indian Service was a perfectly new thing to me. I had no idea what it was or anything about it, except that this announcement said that there were vacancies open and the salaries ranged from certain grades,
mm-hmm.
And anybody who was interested might apply by filling out a civil service application.
Oh.
So it was really quite by chance.
Isn't that something? But prompted as much by the low salary you were getting at the time as anything else.
So my desire to get back into my home field.
I see.
For which I was trained.
Actually then, this means that the salaries that the service were offering at that time were competitive, if not greater than the public school salaries.
They were greater than the public school salaries where I was teaching.
Uh-huh. That's very
interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't say that was true. yeah, it's all amazing, but mm-hmm. it needs a picture of the school system.
Right. So, well, beginning teaching, now, during the years there have been different programs, I understand, for teachers beginning to work with the Bureau as far as their specific training to teach Indians. Did you have any specific training before you started teaching?
Not before I started teaching, no. Not with the Indian children.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you asked me, you know, what themes I was going into in my dissertation. Well, one of the important things, at least I think, that went on in the 30s was what was called in-service training, the summer sessions.
That was started after I was in the service.
Uh-huh. It was started in 36, I believe. At least that's what my research indicated, roughly, that summer. Now, you had been teaching, so, say, a year or so before.
Yes, sir.
Before that started, did you take part in those sessions?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me anything about them?
The first sessions I recall were those that were offered at Fort Wingate High School.
Mm-hmm.
And they were offered during the summer. And our own supervisors, and Dr. Beatty, and others, participated in the leadership of these sessions. And we were given the opportunity to attend the various classes and where the theory and the philosophy of the programs were pointed out,
mm-hmm.
and the approach to teaching the Indian children was described to us. And then later, it developed to the point where there are actual demonstrations of the teaching of Indian children by either experienced teachers and later actual Indian service teachers who they themselves were Indian.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. When that first year, or whether it was that year or not, Dr. Beatty came out, you say. Now, I have only talked with perhaps one person who knew him. Could you give me your impressions of him?
Well, to me, he was a wonderful person. He had visions that really were beyond his day. He foresaw the future more than anybody I could see or knew of at that time. And he was a very kind man, very patient man, a man I think who never forgot a name, regardless of whether he saw you once way off here in the reservation, or maybe he saw you in some other part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But he never forgot the name. And he could always walk right up and speak to you and call you by name. But I think, to me, one of the outstanding things was his foresight of what needed to be done and what should be done to help these children in their education.
Mm-hmm.
He was really a marvelous person.
When I was back at the Bureau in the summer of 1970, I talked with a Bureau employee who had been working. He had worked out all on the Navajo Reservation, I think, in the late 40s during the emergency program, and he'd been around for a long time. And I think he had seen Beatty, and anyway, he had a number of years behind him in the Bureau and a perspective. And he said, when he found out what I was doing, he said, you know, what I think about Bureau leadership is that we no longer have the kind of leaders that we had in the 30s and 40s when Beatty was in charge of education and when people like Collier were around.
Well, I've always said that I was extremely fortunate in that I taught under some of the best leaders I ever knew. And that was in the 30s and the 40s, and until I retired, the England Director of Education in the office in Washington was an outstanding person, and I don't believe I ever had a supervisor who wasn't an outstanding person. I've always been felt very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And why I shouldn't be so fortunate, I don't know.
Did you have any contact with John Paul?
Not directly, no.
Mm-hmm. You think the influence over the whole thing, but
that's right.
Probably didn't.
Of course, indirectly, why we received theories and directions and
mm-hmm.
so forth. But I myself had no direct contact with him. My contacts were, of course, farther down the line.
Yes, certainly. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to hear about Beattie, because, you know, you've done research, and when you spend so much time reading material by letters that people write back and forth, you begin to feel as though you know them.
Mm-hmm.
But you never are able to capture that essence of the person that you can, you know, when
mm-hmm.
you actually have talked to them yourself. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm in a more recent topic, because I can talk with people who
mm-hmm.
who did know them. And Beattie comes out in his letters as being just a marvelous person. His insights are tremendous. And so I'm glad to hear your comments on them too. It sort of reinforces my idea. Where did you go when you started? Was it Chinle right away?
I started at Chinle.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And the school was what size? Was this one of the day schools?
Well, at that time, they were just beginning to open the day school. In fact, in a way, I sort of participated in the opening of the day school.
Mm-hmm.
I went into Chinle, which at that time was a boarding school. And we had some beginners, what we call beginners, through about fourth grade, although the children would range anywhere from maybe 6 years old to 20 years old. And as I said, during that summer and fall, the day schools were just beginning to open up.
That was 35.
That was 35.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, part of my work, as well as teaching home economics to a group of girls, certain days of the week, but other days were devoted to community work with adult people. And part of my work as a community teacher, and especially during the summer months, working with these adults and going out into these schools and getting these schools ready to be opened in the fall. And,
out of Chinle.
Uh-huh. They gave me, assigned me an extra car. I never knew which car I was going to have, but sometimes it'd be a pickup and sometimes it'd be passenger car, but usually it was a pickup because you could carry a little more on a pickup. And I'd start off in the morning, and not knowing exactly where I was going on the way, and we'd go out, I'd go out to